Triple M Rocks Sunday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin.
Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton.
Yes, indeed. Right across our Triple M network through Cairns, Townsville, down into the Whitsundays, down into the Fraser Coast, Brisbane, beautiful Toowoomba, then onto the Goldie, and then into New South Wales through Coffs Harbour, Port Macquarie, Newcastle, Central Coast, Wagga, Dubbo, Orange, the beautiful Griffith area, and then, of course, our hometown, the city of Sydney.
You didn't miss anyone, Maroon.
No, I never do. I never knew. I love everybody.
You normally give Strawny a shout out in Port Macquarie.
Strawny up there at Port Macquarie, very good friend of mine. Moffy up there on at Coffs. That crazy love rat out there at Orange, whose name is Neil Gill. Gilly, famous singer out there. Some emails have come in and some tweets at Triple M_NRL. John's in Glen Innes says, what time's happy hour? Well, Paul Kent's gone, so it's happy hour now. Linda in Rouse Hills says, Paul Kent was in a pretty good mood today. I actually thought I heard him chuckle. Well, yes, he did chuckle at exactly 1:51. So you weren't mistaken. We've gone back onto the tape, as Hoops would say. And we did hear Paul Kent actually chuckle.
He was good today, Kenny. He was upbeat, mate. Mm. He was happy. So I know you like to put the slipper in now because he's not here to defend himself. But
yeah, no, just keep him happy.
He was in good touch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look, his little booster seat's there. He's driving home now. You know, he's got the extension on the pedal so he can change the gears. It's fantastic.
You're brave when he's not here.
What are you laughing at,
him? You're brave when he's not here.
All right. Brave when I'm there too.
All right. Now, the big question, Triple M Brisbane, everybody wants to talk about, is Anthony Seibold and the Brisbane Broncos. Where are the Broncos going? Since we've returned from COVID, Para has beaten them, Roosters have beaten them, Manly have beaten them, and then Newcastle will come back and put the cleaners through them again on Thursday evening. So it's been a dreaded, awful start after COVID for the Brisbane Broncos, and rightfully so, Hoops. The people of Brisbane are asking what the bloody hell is going on.
Well, they're a flagship club, and you know Gordon won 3 premierships with them and a Clive Churchill medal. They don't tolerate anything but success, and it was their CEO Paul White under his imprimatur, Anthony, at the beginning of the year, where he stood up and he said, we are a top 4 side, and at the moment they're in the bottom 4. And they've been absolutely flogged by the Roosters, which was, you know, the really diabolical display. Manly, they showed signs of life, but then couldn't get the job done. And then last week, or this week, I beg your pardon, Thursday against Newcastle again, you know, they're struggling to score points. Mm. And to me, from an outside point of view, Anthony Seibold actually looks like he's second-guessing himself. Look, he's an intelligent bloke, Anthony Seibold, and had great success in his opening year with South Sydney, got them into the finals, got you close to a grand final. But I feel as though the Broncos was a dream gig for him, and it's all come a little bit too much too soon. Mm. As in, I'm not sure. I reckon he would have been better off just biding his time, trying to build away at Redfern and have a little bit more success, gain some more experience there with that roster, than jumping into the hot seat where they've got this. They had a Ferrari roster, but the way that he's taken an axe to it, and the way that it's ended up, and you can't blame Wayne Bennett, and you can't blame other people. Like, he's in there now. He's the head coach. Peter Nolan's the head of recruitment.
He's been there for 2 years.
Yep.
And yeah, second year.
This is his second season in there now.
You've got to be making traction.
All right, 133353. If you are a Broncos supporter and you want to have your say, didn't mean to cut you off there, Hoops, but if you want to have your say, Broncos supporters, rugby league supporters, what on earth is going on with the Broncos? 133353.
What is now fascinating, Anthony, is that Paul White, the CEO, comes out in the Sunday Mail today and says Anthony Seibold's not under any pressure. It's nonsensical to suggest that he won't be our head coach beyond this season. Well, of course, Paul White's going to say that because he's the one who signed him on this 5-year contract, and there's an option for a 6th season that's actually in Anthony's favour. Now, the way that results are going at the moment, it's hard to envisage that tenure being seen out. Mm. So Gordon, you've spent a hell of a lot of your life at that club.
Yes.
And playing for that jersey. How do you see the way that it's all sitting at the moment?
Yeah, I wrote my article today. I'm sick of talking about the Broncos, really, because there's 15 other teams. But I just wrote about the fabric and what the club meant to when I was playing there. I'm not there now, and probably just one of the parts I spoke about, the biggest joker ever to play at the club, you know, the happiest guy I've ever played with was Alan Langer. But there'd come a moment when we're on the field that we're all accountable, where he'd go from a joker to a serious guy, and the trainer would run on, and he would tell the trainer to get him off. And you just look up and you hope that his finger's not pointing at you. So there was a moment where Alf, and no matter who it was, he would point to the trainer and say, get him off. I don't want to play with him anymore. And that was teammates being honest, and we're all accountable for our actions and our games. And I just said, I wonder how many Alan Langer would have tapped on the shoulder if he had the same luxury over the last, you know, 12 months or 4 weeks or whatever, if Alan Langer could have said to the trainer, mate, get this guy off, he's not having a go and he's not living up to the standards of what, you know, the guys like Greg Dowling and Gene Miles and everybody's added. And I just spoke about from the four owners to Wayne Bennett, who's, you know, helped build it, to all these great players, you know, Lazo left his mark. It's not our club, but we put something in it. There's a DNA there that is just doesn't seem to be there anymore. And if you talk to some of the Manly greats, Manly just needs a Manly guy there. And you go to Canberra Raiders, they were a bit of a basket case. They got their DNA back in Ricky that helped build it. And I just thought Brisbane's gone away from that. And I just don't know why. I don't know why they've gone away from, you know, being so successful, making the right decisions, having, you know, these marquee players. And yeah, the players that they've missed out on is Thurston, Slater, Smith, Kronk, Ponga, Munster, the one that got away. Cherry Evans has come up, Munster. There's been so many great players that they never would have missed out on. The organisation, people used to give up less money to go play there. It's not happening anymore.
The one that
and all of that I just wanted to know was why.
The one that really got away as well, I reckon, Gordy, was last year when they decided they wanted to have a crack at signing Craig Bellamy. And, you know, Paul White and Darren Lockyer went down and started the wheels in motion. And, you know, Craig Bellamy spoke to it at the time. You know, he did seriously consider it. And he obviously began his coaching apprenticeship with the club. And he does have a history with the club. And he's a proud person. I think he went pretty close to going back up there. And I think if they'd landed that signature, well, then we're not having this conversation now. But instead, Bellyache decided that he wanted to stay in Melbourne. They had decided that, you know, the Broncos CEO and other people of influence at the club had decided that they wanted to go in a different direction in terms of a coach. And so they took a punt on Anthony Seibold, who at the time was on the way to becoming the Dally M Coach of the Year and had big raps on him in his opening year at Souths.
All right,
but walking in after Madge.
Yes.
This is a totally different kettle of fish. You're walking in. I worked at South. You don't have to really coach Greg Inglis. Let me just put it out there. You don't have to coach Sam Burgess. They coach themselves. They're the ones that drive the standard. So those great players come into Brisbane. He's got rid of the Maguires and all those type of guys because he wanted this young side. And he said, quote unquote, something like, you know, I'm a development coach. You know, the young kids, I really like developing young players. Well, Paynes has gone from playing State of Origin to, if they're seriously picking now, they wouldn't pick him. Safidi's gone past him. You know, Daniel Safidi, I thought, was lucky to play Origin last year. And you look at his game on Thursday night, it was destructive, it was damaging, it was a first-class performance in the middle of the ruck. Paynes was making 200-and-something metres. He was unstoppable. It looked like the biggest kid playing under eights. Well, he's running for 60-odd metres. They're burning the kid out. He's playing for 80 minutes. He doesn't need to play for 80 minutes. Temalolo, the Titans put a hook out in front of me. Oh, yeah, well, Temalolo with the new rules, you know, he's going to struggle. Paul Green just gave him 15 minutes off, you know, which means that he gets that and in a 10 minutes at half time. So he's getting 15 or 20 minutes off a game now. Well, every month, that's one less game that guy, like one of your good players, they talk about rotating the roster. That's how you keep them a little bit fresher, I believe. But I'm not at the club making decisions, and they're supposed to be there. And whether it's Darren Lockyer, and then the only question that I asked ages ago was, Lockyer, how come the club's not what it was when you first walked in there? And it's under his watch, and he's got a lot of power there, you know? Why isn't it?
Have you asked Lockyer that directly?
No. No, we pass sometimes like ships in the night when we're flying here and there, and he's told me about a couple of players coming through, and I said, you know, what's happening? mate, with the joint, oh, no, well, we're doing this and we just need that, we need this. And actually, I'll tell you what we're talking about. We're talking about Little Dearden.
Yes.
I said, oh, mate, what's happening with Nicarima and Milf? I said, they seem to be struggling a little bit. He goes, mate, we've got this Dearden. He goes, he'll play a little bit of first grade and then next year he'll be spot on. Well, then I went and signed
Croft.
Croft.
Mm. Yeah, who was an unwanted.
So that kid that Lockie spoke about that's going to be a franchise halfback that is going to be the next, you know, playmaker to take him to a premiership.
All right,
they
boys.
Believe they one, sign somebody else.
133353 is the number. We've got a couple of Broncos fans on the phone and NRL fans that want to have their say. Bob, it's over to you, mate. What do you think? No, he's gone. Ooh. Hello, Bob. Well, we just got a bad line there, mate. You there, Bob?
Yeah, mate, I'm back.
Go for your life.
Hey, fellas. G'day, fellas. How are you today?
Good, mate. How are you?
Good, Bob.
Not too foul. Been listening to your show. Great show. Every Sunday, Ivo. Brisbane, I don't think they've got a football brain. Like, I don't think any of the players have gone down to the park and had a game of football with all their mates, where it's a freestyle of game of football, where you think and you think on the run. I reckon everything's just been busted into their brain on how to do stuff.
Mm.
They're
free. It's an interesting take you got there, Bob. Look, I think what they're really lacking at the moment is direction out of their big gun players. So Anthony Milford against the Knights the other night, you know, Milf has been tagged the $1 million man repeatedly over the years, and he's taken up this option in his contract to play for the club again next season. But at the moment, you know, he's not even getting near giving you bang for your buck. So
he doesn't love the game. Looks like he doesn't love the game. Doesn't like playing it. He's playing for that $1 million.
Mm.
But he's not playing for, you know, for your soul.
Well, I think part of the issue with Milf is he looks to me like a player who is unsettled and unhappy with the change of coach. And, you know, when Anthony Seibold got up there last year, he moved him from 5'8 to fullback. And he finished the season as a fullback. Then now this season he buys Brady Croft and he's back wearing the number 6 jumper. So I think that indecision and the chopping and changing, to me, Anthony Milford doesn't look like a happy footballer.
His best season was 2015.
Yep.
When they went to the grand final. That's a long time ago.
Yep.
Who was in control of their halves and their attack?
Kevin Walters.
Yeah. Point taken. And I think Milford needs to be a bit fitter. Benji Marshall said it on Fox on 360, and then Wayne and Kenty had that run in or whatever over it where Benji goes, you know, he cuts a few corners at training.
Yeah.
You know, and Benji looks like, you know, that guy, and it was just the experience, you know, like an old bull telling the young bull, brother, you know, you got to not cut some corners here if you want to be the player that you can be. And Andrew John said it best, like, I don't talk about their ability. Hoops, and I'm not an ability guy because I believe you're born with that, you know. But when it comes down to footy smarts and you listen to Andrew Johns critique their game, he's lost. He's actually lost for answers on why their halves didn't do this, and there's smarter brains out there doing it. Why aren't they listening? Why aren't, and then he said that now for 3 or 4 weeks. I'm not going to bag their playing. I always talk about their effort because that's what you bring to the game. It costs you nothing to bring effort. It costs you nothing to go out there and put a tackle. And, you know, and you learn to tackle the first time you go to training under 6s, 7s, or 8s. You know, one of the first things they teach you is tackling and all that sidestepping and all that skillful stuff. Well, that's what you learn down the park with your mates. And he's right, you know, just go and play in some natural footy. So they got a few hurdles to overcome, Brisbane. I think it is in their halves. I think Brody Croft playing in such a structured side, just looking after one edge to now running a whole side. It's a bit unfair that the hooker in Turpin got injured, you know, like in a crystal ball, they wouldn't have let McCulloch go. Mm. So that's that. And they need an old guy, like their old guys at the moment, to give them that experience. Darius, well, a lot's been said about Darius. He's been an unbelievable player, but it's like the cues in the rack. You know, he's just collecting his money.
He's gone a year too long.
Yeah. And then you got Ben Teo coming back. Well, he spent 6 years out of the game. And I think Ben Teo's a tough guy. Well, they should have signed him before he left. You know, just, you know, the stiffen up, not now, you know, after 6 years out. And he's going to take 10 games to get his body and his fitness up to a level where he can add. you know, with these kids. So
there's been some desperation plays, haven't there? It's policy on the run, you know, like, oh, we'll go and get Isaac Luke, we'll get Ben Teo, we'll get Peter Ryan. It's not, it doesn't look, from an outside point of view, it just doesn't look like a happy joint.
But they're trying to fix things, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the, you know, and that's the key, that they're out there and they're trying to do things now, but this club should never be, and then, like, my point is, yeah, and people think that I beat them up. It should never be in this situation. Mm. The marquee club, best facility, they pick the eyes out of every kid in Queensland. Everybody wanted to play. You know, they talk about it. I got offered, like, by 7 clubs or something when I went to them. Like, Super League, I could have picked any team. I picked Brisbane. Mm. A lot of people picked Brisbane. And I don't think that that's happening anymore. They're paying overs,
yeah,
you know, for their players.
Given what Gordy's just said about being a marquee club and all that expectation in Brisbane, one of Australia's biggest cities and certainly a rugby league town, they've got a couple of games coming up that they are capable of winning.
Titans, next month.
Yeah, they got Titans on, they got Warriors, they got a couple of other ones that they can win.
Bulldogs.
What happens if we're sitting here in 2 weeks' time and they still haven't won? What happens then? When do they start making some serious calls, or is it still way too early?
No, it's not way too early. They've got to do something. If they continue to lose, it's going to get desperation stakes. It's going to get drastic. So, look, Paul White's come out in the papers today and said, backed Anthony Seibold in. He said he's our coach.
Well, that's his decision, because that's the decision he made.
That's right.
He's trying to jump
on the front foot and suggest it's nonsensical. Well, if the losses continue to mount, they might have to change tack.
Well, I would like to see that pay out. Anyway, we've got to end that chat. Don't forget, Maroon's poll is out and about, lurking about today. The poll is, do you think, more specifically, in the dismissal of Stephen Kearney, do you think the Warriors picked the wrong time to part company with Stephen Kearney? NRL Facebook or at Triple M_NRL. Yes. Oops.
You've been a bit tongue-tied today.
I know,
Anthony.
Mate.
Is everything okay?
Oh, there's a lot.
Did you do your red leather, yellow leather exercises?
No. I didn't.
A little rouge judiciously used.
What I'll do is I'll dig them up on the computer here, and we can all do them before we go home this afternoon. But we're going to speak more rugby league. A couple of big games coming up today for different reasons. Dogs Sharkies, and at 4 o'clock, Raiders Manly as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M Sunday Sinbin.
Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton.
Here, it's a big g'day to Vicky and Ross and Jan, who are in the car travelling from Rockhampton down to the Goldie at Triple M_NRL. They've sent us in a voice exercise. They heard us talking about voice exercises for you, Gordy, and you, Hoops, to do. And it goes like this. Betty Botter bought some butter, but she said this butter's bitter. Can you have a crack at that, Gordy? Betty Botter bought some butter, but she said this butter's bitter.
Peter Piper picked the pepper from the pepper tree.
Well, you got one for us today?
Yeah.
Have you got one for us, Hoops?
He's on fire. Unique New York.
Simple. Short and simple, like you. Hey, if you're going to have a bet today, you go to talk to our mate Hackers, Tom Hackett, the Hack. At Ladbroke, same game multi, combine all your favourite markets into one big bet. Gamble responsibly. Hello, Tom.
Hello, boys.
Big game, the Savo. Looking forward to this one. Raiders, Manly, what are the punters doing?
Yeah, huge game, this one. Bit of money being split, really, the punters so far. Raiders are the clear favourites here at $1.50. So I think Manly offer really good value at their current price of $2.70.
Ooh.
First try scorer, Hackers. What are we thinking?
Jonna Rapana is the favourite here at $9.50. Nick Kotrick's $10. Jared Croker and Ruben Gehrig both at $11. I think the value lies with Tommy Turbo here. He's $12. I think that's well and truly over the odds.
Okay. What about the other game, mate? The Sharks and the Bulldogs, the Coach Cup, the Coach Killers Cup.
Not a huge amount of betting interest in this one, as you can probably expect. The Sharks are the clear favourites here, though, at $1.57. Not a huge amount of money for the Bulldogs. They're out to $2.55.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Tom. We'll catch up with you again next week. Score more value this NRL season with Ladbrokes. Same game multi. What you do is you combine all your favourite markets into one big bet. It's like a big old bowl of combination soup, but always gamble responsibly. Now, of course, the big news to come out of yesterday was that Stephen Kearney has been relieved of his duties at the New Zealand Warriors. I think the only surprise about that was the timing. He will be replaced in the short term by Todd Payton, his assistant coach. Here's what Todd Payton had to say.
Got a phone call yesterday morning at 9:30 from Cameron. Really shocked. Really feel for Steve. I know the playing group are rattled and still processing it at the moment. Yeah, this team's been faced with quite a few challenges, and I think they've handled it pretty well for the most part, you know. Yes, the performance on Friday wasn't great, and I'm aware of that, and the players are aware of that, but given the fact that, you know, we've been away from home for now nearly 9 weeks, there's layers of different challenges, and this one's a big challenge and a big moment that we're going to have to process before we get moving forward.
Todd Payton was the assistant coach at the Warriors. He's now the head coach for the interim period. Gordon, talk me through this. If you're an NRL player, you get the news that your coach has been sacked. How does that affect your immediate, you know, outlook on rugby league and your team?
Well, it all depends what was happening. Whether you would like to think that there was more honest conversations around it, and it's not just the coach. Obviously, it's the players as well that are letting him down with his game plan. But you're paid to play. As cold-hearted as that is, you know, I think if I was playing at a club and the coach was getting moved on, I'd probably look at myself and go, "Well, I'm part of that problem. I was part reason why he got sacked because we're not winning games of footy." You know, you don't see too many coaches other than Anthony Griffin. They get sacked when you're winning games and in the top eight. So I'd probably take it personal and have a look at my own self. But it's not a nice time, is it? You know, but it's soap opera for men, mate. We play a game that's result driven. You need success. That's it. We all know when we get into it. You know, there was a reserve grade and it was used. You know, mate, I was at the Broncos when Lazarus and Kerrod Walters got put back there. There were so many internationals got put back in reserve grade when I was playing. It just happened.
Yeah, it's one of the cutthroat realities, isn't it, Gordon, professional sport these days. And there's nothing they can do to change it. The decision's been made. So now what they have got in terms of an opportunity is to go out and show what they can do under Todd Payton.
From a marketing point of view, Hoops, this is a side that do make a lot of errors along the way. They make the commitment to play and base themselves in Australia during the COVID-19 crisis. You probably would have thought, I mean, even Australians were buying memberships to support them. You would have thought they were getting a little bit of warm and fuzzy love from back home in New Zealand, and they picked this time of all time to sack the coach. I mean, it's not like they were going good and now all of a sudden they're going bad.
No, and look, if you go back a week ago, they beat the Cowboys, and you go back 2 weeks prior to that and they beat the Dragons. So since the competition resumed, they're 2-4. I know you're struggling to understand the timing of it, but speaking to the Warriors CEO Cameron George yesterday, he and the owners of the club have been having these conversations for quite some time, and they had kept them behind closed doors and kept them gone at lengths to keep them under wraps. But I think there was a view that Stephen Kearney had got as much as he could out of that playing group and that they needed to make a change. And so they just decided, righto, well, we'll just rip the Band-Aid straight off and make the change. Mm.
There is a lot of activity going on in and around who coaches who at the moment. And a lot of people, it is crazy,
Anthony. At the moment, I actually can't recall. Like, we had the great coaching merry-go-round a few years ago where Anthony Seibold ended up at Brisbane and Wayne Bennett ended up at Souths. And, you know, the Broncos had a crack at getting Craig Bellamy and all those types of things. But I can't recall a period like this previously. And I think it's because of the gaps that we're starting to see open up in the competition in terms of there's half a dozen gun teams that are genuine chances of winning this unique competition that we're now witnessing. And then the rest of the teams are making up the numbers. And in amongst there, there's a lot of heat about have we got the right coach? And if we haven't, well, we need to make some tough decisions and try and get the right people in.
Given that, though, what you've said there, some of the games I love calling rugby league. I don't care who's playing, but some of the performances we have seen since the return from COVID-19 by individuals and teams, you wonder how on earth, Hoops, we could think of introducing another franchise without killing one off, because I just don't think there's the talent.
No, I disagree in relation to that. You mm-hmm. look at all the players who aren't getting a crack in the NRL at the moment because there's only able to be 17 players selected in terms of NRL each week at this point in time, and there's no reserve grade, and there's no under-20s, and there are no lower-tier competitions. So there's a heap of talent there. So there's enough talent to go around for another team in Brisbane at the appropriate time. I think that'll be 2022.
Okay. Just on coaches too, before we move on. Now we've got this, and people say they don't like to talk about coaches when they're coaching teams and their jobs are on the line. But I think it's our job to cover off on all of this. And this game tonight, which is the Dogs and the Sharks, brings into topic another couple of coaches who might be on the chopping block.
Well, what did you call it a minute ago?
I don't know.
The Coach Something Cup?
Or? Oh, the Coach Killers Cup, yeah. I mean, these poor blokes, they're under the microscope too. And particularly with the guy at Cronulla, I don't know what he could have possibly had time to do wrong. He got them to the finals last year. They were disappointing in the finals. But, you know, I don't know what he could have done wrong in the opening six rounds.
Yeah, it's been a welcome to first grade initiation for John Morris. He got through relatively unscathed last year and they did make the finals, as you just touched on. But this year, he's had the blowtorch on from the get-go and it's been no issues are of his own doing. But as a result, that's just the nature of the business sometimes. You find yourself in the papers every day and the centre of speculation and different storylines, different narratives, different coaches being linked and your position being questioned.
Yeah. But they have to go through a roster change. So it was an ageing roster, Luke Lewis, Gill.
Yeah.
Yeah, Morris.
Pryor. People forget Pryor.
Like it's an ageing sort of roster. So they got to turn that around and they did with, you know, they had a few young guys in there like Val Holmes and he wanted to chase his dream and ended up at the Cowboys, Bronson Cherry. You know, he's got a face of music. Yeah. So I think they were trying, but
you're right. You
know, I don't think it's John Morris's fault, but then they know that once they win a grand final and with the roster that they had, you know, and then for Fifita it looks like he's playing on one leg, you know, it's going to be tough times at Cronulla for like a little bit.
Mm. Well, some of their senior players as well. Like you look at Matt Moylan and these repeated soft tissue hamstring issues that he's had. He'll be back today, which is good news for the Sharkies. But it's a critical game. Yeah, Josh Dugan's another one. It's a critical game in terms of the two gentlemen who are in charge of both of these clubs because as we touched on earlier in the program, there is a Bulldogs board meeting on Thursday and as much as they might try and throw off, they need to make a decision about what they're doing beyond this season because they've got $3 million to spend in terms of salary cap money to recruit players for next season. And at the moment, nobody knows who the coach is going to be. So if nobody knows who the coach is going to be, it's going to be very hard to attract players. And they got Luke Thompson. And yes, he's coming out here from overseas and he will be available for selection in a couple of weeks. But aside from that, it's slim pickings.
Just in closing, I would like to say I think the Sharks – the person who really, really let the Sharks down is Val Holmes. And good luck to him tonight. Good luck to Bomber Morris and the whole team and the Doggies as well. We're going to take a break.
The person who really let the Sharks down was Shane Flanagan. Why are you throwing Val Holmes under the bus?
Well, Val Holmes signs a contract, then decides he wants to play a whole other sport. And then when it doesn't work, surprise, surprise, he comes back and he's playing for another club.
But see, if you actually had your ear to the ground and you know the real reasonings or part of the real reasonings why he wanted to get out of there,
mate,
then you would know that it wasn't just because
you
wanted to chase a dream.
If you had brain, right. If you had brains in your head, well, then tell us what it is.
Well, I don't think he was seeing eye to eye with the direction of the club and where it was going and who was in charge.
Well, bad luck. He just signed a contract. When a player signs a contract,
contracts aren't worth the paper.
Yeah, That's half the problem. So when these players sign a contract that then want to take off and play rugby or AFL or they all want to play NFL and it never works, I can't understand why. When players sign a contract and then move on to play another sport, what about all the moving and shaking that's gone on to keep them there before they decide players have got to be let go to keep them there? And then they decide, oh, no, it's always been my dream to play NFL. Bullshit. I'm saying it. Let's take a break and we'll come back and preview this game today. Raiders Manly as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M Sunday Sin Bin.
Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton.
Welcome back to it. A big game coming up. Dan's going to call this one for you this afternoon at 4. Canberra and Manly. And a big game for a lot of reasons. Well, Manly got a lot of these unsung heroes. Blokes like Brad Parker playing game 50 today. And Ruben Garrick, who we love. We'll go through those guys shortly. Corey the Freckle Horsburgh returns for the Raiders today. What's this about dodgy sausages?
Anthony, don't heckle the Freckle, all right?
I won't heckle
why
the Freckle.
Why have you called him the Freckle?
I don't call him. That's
well,
what
Maroon,
I
mean. What we talk about in the break from? Is private.
Yeah, I know. But
so why would you bring it up?
Mate, the Freckle is his nickname, all right? So I call him the Freckle.
According to who?
Well, I don't know.
Have you got that on a good authority?
Who starts anyone?
Just dubbed him? Well, you dubbed Anthony Don colourful Gold Coast identity. Shannon Boyd the laboratory experiment.
No, I didn't.
Is this one of your nicknames or is this actually genuinely?
These nicknames.
When a problem comes
where
along,
do nicknames
Gareth
come from?
Reddip, you've come up with a few, Maroon.
No. When nicknames are nicknames. Who knows where they start? Okay. You know what I mean? I mean, Les Davidson's nickname's Bundy. Who named him that? You know what I mean? So
Bundy's a stick.
Blocker Roach's nickname's Blocker. Where do you get that nickname? Don't question the nickname.
Blocker Cheese.
Yeah. All right. Corey Horsburgh ate some dodgy sausages. What happened?
Well, you're asking the questions.
That's right. So tell me the answer.
There's a story in the Sunday Telegraph today that Corey had cooked up.
What are you on today?
Had cooked up. I should ask
mate,
you.
Mate, I could do a drug test on you right now. I'm authorised.
100%. Let's go. And we'll do one on you mate, as well. And I'll tell you
don't
what.
Don't worry about me because I wouldn't
you'll
pass.
You'll blow up the dial.
I wouldn't pass. I'd blow the whole machine up just on what the doctor gives me. Anyway, sorry.
Corey Horsburgh, there was
what's
a story
in those
by
Portuguese tarts.
Yeah, what is in these Portuguese tarts?
I don't know.
Tarts?
He had three of them and he didn't even win. He was asking the questions.
Oh, they're Moorish.
He's popping them like Tic Tacs.
I just found a hair in one of them, too. Anyway, what's going on with the Corey Horsburgh? I'll only ask you one more time and then I'll put one on your chin. What's going on with Corey Horsburgh's sausages?
We both know that's a fabrication, so don't. Go right. Telling lies on radio.
Okay.
Okay, so Corey Horsburgh's dodgy sausages. There's a story in the Sunday Telegraph today by Michael Carianis where Corey had cooked up some snags at home and left them in the fridge for an unknown amount of time. I think it could have possibly been as long as a week. And he was hungry one day, hooted them up again, ate the snags, and then got crook as a result of it and had to have a week out. So that was why we haven't seen Corey playing over the course of the last little bit. But he's back today. And look, he's a big inclusion for the Green Machine because they have been building nicely over the course of the last few weeks and they've had some challenges since the competition resumed. Great win over Melbourne, then a disappointing loss. And then they bounced back against the West Tigers where Jack Whiten was simply brilliant. And, you know, I'm expecting the games between the Raiders and Manly in recent times have been crackers, Gordy.
Yeah,
they've great got game. A good rivalry going.
Yeah, absolutely. So they both got great forward packs. They got a bit of X factor out wide. They got big wingers that do their job. Running halves. They got their little trick shots. It's a cracking game. And it's got to be one in the middle. And Manly's two front rows have been nothing short of sensational all year. They've just laid a great platform. Their back rows on the edge, Lane and that have been doing their job. And the Trbojevic brothers with Cherry Evans have been sublime.
Yeah. No, Moses Sully and Marty Tapau for this one. Who wins?
Georgie Tafu is out too, Jorge. I'm leaning a little bit towards the Green Machine just based on those key outs for the Seagulls. If there's one area that Manly are a little bit weak, it's in terms of their depth. Hudson Young back today as well for the Canberra Raiders. He'll give them a little bit of punch off the bench. So I'm leaning just slightly towards Canberra, but I think it'll be really close.
What about you, Gordy?
I'll go Canberra in a tight one.
All right.
Look, it's one of those games. You know, it's just, seriously, like you toss a coin, but I'll go Canberra.
Hey, what this Manly side, let me start with you, Gordon. This Manly side with the Trbojevic boys and plenty of muscle up front, how far can they go in this competition?
Oh, I think they, on their day with Desi back at the helm and what they do, yeah, absolutely. they're a dark horse, aren't they? But they've come out of the long grass now because you're like, before a ball was kicked, no one was really talking about Manly. And then since Desi's come back and, you know, the way they're playing, well, if you look at their backs, like Suley's, you mean, they got everything that you need to compete. They got a great spine. They got a couple of great front rowers. I suppose it's just depth and keeping everybody fit at the right time of the year. But are they as good as the Roosters? Not 10 out of, you know, not playing them every week, but in a one-off game, you know, you give Manly a shot with their, you know, just with their experience.
They almost beat Parra a couple of weeks ago, Hoops.
They're genuine contenders, no question about it. They should have beaten Parramatta. They were robbed of that decision on the bell. That was a fair dinkum try and should have been awarded to Ruben Garrick. Tommy Turbo,
he's
they
good,
called
Ruben Garrick, isn't he?
Underrated player. Was a Dragons junior, was down there in Wollongong and got spotted by the Seagulls and got an opportunity to get straight into the NRL up there. They're unsung, Manly, but look, there's no question. I think, as Gordon just touched on, they are genuine contenders. They just can't afford too many injuries. That's their issue, is they don't have a really deep roster, whereas the best teams, like you look at the Chooks, the players that didn't play last night, they left out Lindsay Collins, who was absolutely phenomenal against the Brisbane Broncos and is a chance of kicking the door in for State of Origin this year. So,
not to get off the point, but what about the Morris boys? They've been in the fountain of youth.
Haven't they? What? Mm. Yeah. They've been eating your Portuguese tarts, Anthony. They are absolute freaks. Some of their efforts last night, particularly, well, both of them defensively. You know, Josh has been one of the best defensive centres in the game for a number of years now. But Brett, at one stage, Gordon, like, he plays on the right wing, but yet then he follows up, he ends up on the left edge and he takes a run out of dummy half and then, you know, makes 10 metres and they're 10 metres out from the Eels try line. And then the next thing, he's back over the other side and nearly scoring a try over there. So he's a weapon.
All right,
and
boys.
Then they put him back at fullback, and I think Alex Johnson made a break the other week, and he just snuffed that out. They're in rare form, aren't they, the Morris boys? They're bloody going great.
As you always like to say, Anthony, they're like a good bottle of red. They're getting better with age.
Hey, also, a lot of people are suggesting that Corey the Freckle Horsburgh is surely an NRL player, couldn't get food poisoning from week-old sausages. I mean, they're not that old. Do you know, in 1987, Hoops, I stopped at the servo in Nabiac on my way to Port Macquarie and bought a scorched peanut bar, and after I'd eaten it, I'd noticed it said used by July 1985. Didn't affect me. Didn't affect me. Almost went back and got another one. But I am tough. I'm a tough cat.
Have you? Let me ask you this.
Yeah, you got the.
Seeing as how we're getting through all the hard-hitting questions, have you ever had a dodgy sausage?
Maybe back in the 90s, but not since then. We'll take a break and we'll come back and wrap it up at Triple M.
Thanks to Ream Hot Water. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back. We're just about done here. Hoops, Gordy Tallison, Maroon Gordy. What are you up to tonight? I know you're calling the footy, but there's something else going on.
Yeah, no, I'm doing the 72-hour challenge, Maroon, where I'm not going to eat for 3 days.
Well, you're not going to eat?
All you have to do is just have water.
Really?
That's it.
Water, why would you do that?
I have no idea.
You're not going to eat for three...
Because we sit on the couch and Fletch comes up with some weird stuff. You know, he thinks the earth's flat and stuff like that. And then he's talked myself and Hindmarsh into doing this 72-hour challenge. And because I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, I might jump in with him. It's supposed to recalibrate your body and make you lose a little bit of weight. Kickstart everything.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Fletch. I love him to death. But who would
advice off him?
Medical advice off Fletch, yeah.
Brian with a
it's
Y.
It's not as if I'm locked up in a room. If I feel like eating, I'll go eat. If I feel like having a beer, I'm not. Listen, you know, no one's going to be there watching me.
Exactly.
But I will do it, Maroon.
Yeah. 3 days without food.
Yeah.
I don't see how that could be healthy, mate.
Have you seen me eat?
No, I have seen you eat. I remember
which one's healthier, not eating or watching me eat?
Remember when he went on a diet and he went from half a chicken to a whole chicken that time? Yeah,
he cut the chips out.
All right, very quickly, who wins out of Cronulla and the Dogs?
Sharks.
Sharks. What about you, Hoops?
I'm going to go to the Dogs.
Oh, are you?
Yep.
We'll catch you tonight on Fox League.
Yep.
All right. That's just about it from us. A big game coming up on Triple M. In fact, both games. The first one, Canberra-Manly. Dan's going to call that game for you. It's only a couple of minutes away. That should be a good one. And then, of course, the game tonight, which is the 6:30 game, which we're doing on Sunday night during COVID-19. That's the Sharkies and the Doggies. So a couple of games coming up. Thanks very much, too, to our sponsors, Mitsubishi Triton. You can't frighten a Mitsubishi Triton. They are a great rig. Been around since the 1980s. Tough car. All the tradies love them. So Dan Ganane will call that game for you next. Manly fans, Raiders fans, stay with us. It's coming up next as Triple M rocks the footy.
Marine hot water. Triple M rocks footy.